All right, if you turn to John chapter number 17. John 17. Yes. Amen. Amen. Sister Sheila has said that they have been requesting prayer and about an unspoken, and God answered this past Friday. I think Friday was it. Friday? Did I get that right? I heard that right? And she just wanted to thank everyone for praying for their family. And we praise the Lord for answered prayer. I'm glad God hears and answers the prayers of His people. Amen. Thank you, Sister Sheila, for sharing that with us. I want to talk to you about the Word of God tonight. I want you to turn to John 17, and we'll have a word of prayer as we look into the Word and ask God to help us as we navigate down through some of these scriptures, that God would impress upon our hearts the importance of His Word. Father, we are thankful for Your Word. God, I pray that Your Word would be unto us, as Job said, more than our necessary food. We would love Thy precepts, and we would hide Your Word in our heart that we might not sin against Thee. God, help us. Lord, speak to our hearts about Your Word. Help us to understand the importance that the Word of God is to be in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. As I began to look down through this prayer this past few days, I noticed something, and there may be more. I've noted about six or seven things here that I'm going to give you, that Jesus says that God has given Him so that He could give to us. Now, Jesus in this prayer is mediating. In other words, in His high priestly prayer, He is interceding. He is praying on our behalf. Now, realize that in the first intention of the prayer was for the disciples, but I always go to this verse in verse number 20 of John 17, where He said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." And I am 100% confident that that speaks of the believers, of all those that would believe through the Word of God down through the ages. And so you and I are a part of this. Now, there's some things that I want you to mark in your Bible. If you mark in your Bible, if you don't, write them down. I think it'll help you as you go back and look at it a little more in depth. I'm not going to go in depth into each one of these, even though each one of them probably could be a message in themselves. I just want to mention them to you. Jesus said, "Thou hast given this to Me so that I could give them to Your people." Now, that's called mediation, all right? We have no standing to go before God in ourselves, brethren. Thank God for the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, "Well, now, I don't know what that big word means." It's a go-between. It's a person who represents. He is our advocate. That's another word in 1 John chapter 2 that is used. He is our mediator. And Paul, writing to a young preacher by the name of Timothy, said, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." I'm glad that Jesus stands in my behalf before the God of heaven. And as He's praying, you have to remember these disciples are hearing Him pray as He's praying this prayer. And I'm sure that they were just fascinating at what they were hearing, that God had given to Jesus, God the Father had given to God the Son, that would be passed on through us by the Holy Spirit. And so let's look at just a few of them. Look, if you would, first of all, in verse number 2. In verse number 2, He said, "As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh." And so God has given Jesus all power. All power, all authority belongs to Jesus. Now, man thinks He has power. But the powers that be are the powers of God. The only power that man will ever have is the power that God delegates unto him for a distinct purpose. All power, in verse number 2, has been given to Jesus. Now, what is that power given to Jesus for? Well, look at what he said right after that. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. God gave Jesus power so that he could complete a work, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, so that he would possess the gift of eternal life through his finished work to bestow upon or give to all of those that would call upon his name. Aren't you glad for that? So God gave Jesus the power to give to you and I that receive him eternal life through his finished work. Notice again what he said, thou hast given him in verse number 2, as thou hast given him in verse number 2, the latter part, right in the middle says that he should give. So see, God gives to Jesus so he can give to us. I'm glad for that, aren't you? I'm glad for that. And then if you would notice in verse number 4, look at verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, the work which thou gavest me to do. This is something that God gave Jesus. He gave him a work to do. It's not just any work. It was the work of redemption. Had Jesus not finished the work of redemption, we'd all be in our sin and we would have no way whatsoever to get to heaven. No way. But I'm glad that he did finish the work, because actually he proclaimed that in verse number 4. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work. What work? That thou gavest me. God gave Jesus a work to do. God the Father gave God the Son a work to do. Jesus completed that work. It's finished. And now the work of salvation is complete. If you think for one moment that you're working to add to that, you are sadly mistaken. And you have gone outside the realm of Scripture. We do not add to what God has given or done. We simply receive it with thanksgiving. And we praise God for the finished work of salvation. Then there's another thing that I want you to notice. Not only has God given him a people, God's given him power, that as he gives the gift of eternal life, he might have that people. He's given him a work. But look in verse number 6, what he said. In verse number 6, he said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. I'm glad that God's name now means something different to me. You know, before I got saved, I used God's name in a many variety of ways that was blasphemy. But I'm glad that now I know what the name of God means and who God is. God has been manifested to me. I not only know about God, I know who God is. I'm glad for that. Remember the time in your life when you didn't know who God was? Oh, you may have knew about him. You may have known some things about him and maybe some things that he had done. But now I not only know those things, I know who God is. Notice if you would in verse number 2 when he said, And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. That's one of my favorite verses in this entire chapter. That they might know thee, the only true God, he said, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen. I'm thankful that God has manifested his name unto us. Now, how did he do that? How did God manifest his name to me and to you? Well, look what the scripture says, if you would. Look, if you would, in verse number 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Now, this is very interesting. God gave Jesus the words. And then Jesus gave us the word. We're going to see how that happened in just a moment. Now, God gave the words to Jesus. Now, what he said? Look at it again in verse number 8. For I have given unto them the words. Jesus gave them to the disciples. But who gave them to Jesus? Notice what he said. Which thou gavest me. God gave Jesus the words, and Jesus gave the disciples the words. The Holy Spirit of God helped the disciples to remember the words. Did you know that? Did you know that every word that Jesus wanted us to hear that he spoke while he was here upon this earth, God, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, brought it to the remembrance of the disciples so that as they wrote, not one word would be missing. Not one word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And yet Jesus told us those words. That's what he said. Look at it again in verse number 8. For I have given unto them, the disciples, what? The words. What words? Which thou gavest me. Now how could that be? Well, first of all, they heard his words. Then if you'll look in verse number 8, they did something else. They received them. We're going to go back and talk about that a little in detail. They received his words. And through hearing the words that God gave Jesus and Jesus gave them, they received them. And notice what happened. And have known, I like his word here, surely. What a word. I mean, there's no doubt. Because they received the words that God gave Jesus and Jesus gave them. He said this. He said, they have known surely that I came out from thee. Amen. No doubt. You know, when we get in God's word, it erases doubt in our lives. Say, preacher, I'm having a problem with doubt. I don't think there's not a one of us here that hasn't at some time in our lives had a problem with doubt. You get in the word of God, and the word of God will build and bolster, it'll strengthen our faith, and it will erase doubt. So that we can say what Jesus prayed here, they have received them and have known surely some things. You don't have to doubt. You can know surely. Notice what else he said. And we'll come back to this too. Not only have they known surely that I came out from thee, but they have believed that thou didst send me. Isn't that something? They believed. They believed that I am the Son of God. I am God incarnate. Listen, the natural-minded man cannot receive that. The Spirit of God has to help the natural mind. There must be a regeneration to take place in the heart of man to believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. I mean, really believe it. I'm not talking about right here. I mean in here. In the heart. And so God gave Jesus the word. Jesus gave the disciples the word. The disciples received them. What else did they do? Look at it in verse number 8. They believed them. Isn't that what he said? He said they believed. They received the word. They believed the word. And then at some point, some of them were moved on by the Holy Spirit to record the word. Now, how did they do that? Jesus had already told them. Turn back, if you would, to chapter 14. Jesus had reminded them. Now, men, he said, I'm going to use you to minister for me. But in order to do that, you're going to need some help. Because you're not going to remember everything that I've told you. Oh, they remember some of the miracles, some of the works. But some of the words are not as easy to remember, especially in a 3.5-year period of time. But he said this in chapter number 14, look in verse number 26. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now here it is. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. See, the Spirit of God did that. We call that inspiration. The Spirit of God moved upon men. God breathed upon them as they wrote the words of God. Turn, if you would, hold your place here and turn back to the book of Acts just for a moment in Acts chapter number 1. In Acts chapter number 1, we're reminded in verse number 2 that that's exactly what God did. So here's what Jesus was praying as you find your place in Acts chapter 1. He said, God, you gave me the words. And I gave the words to these men, these disciples. And then the Spirit of God used those words that I gave so that they could write those words and they could be given to others. Brethren, that's how we got the Word of God. That's the way the Word of God came to us. God gave them to Jesus. Jesus gave them to the disciples. The Spirit of God brought them to their remembrance as they wrote them, and they passed them down to us. I'm glad for that. Amen. Listen, I have absolutely zero, I lose zero sleep. It's a gift of God. And I believe that God will give this gift to anyone that wants it. I have never lost one ounce of sleep, one wink over worrying if what I hold in my hand is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. I don't lose sleep. Well, how could it have this? How could it have made it through this errand? God gave it to Jesus. Jesus, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, He spoke it to His disciples in person, and then His disciples, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, wrote it down. They preached it, but then they also recorded it, and it's been passed on through time to you and I by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The same Spirit that brought to the disciples remembrance as they recorded the original autographs, that same Spirit moved on men as they produced God's Word in our mother tongue. I'm so thankful to God for that. I don't go to bed at night wondering. I wonder if they made a mistake here and they made a mistake there. There are no mistakes in the Word of God. Now, there's some books out there that call themselves the Bible. There's plenty of mistakes in them. But there are no mistakes in the Word of God. Amen. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 2, well, let's get verse number 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up. Now watch this next phrase. After that, He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He has chosen. I'm glad that God finished His Word out, completed the canon of Scripture, and then passed it on to you and I. I'm thankful to God for that. So we'll go back to John 17, and we have these things that Jesus said, God gave me these things, and He gave them to me so that I could give them to you to be a blessing. And then He said in verse number 8 of chapter number 17, and this is where I want to spend a little time on the Word. Jesus places a great emphasis on the Word in this prayer. Notice, if you would, and I'll just point out a few of them. Look at the latter part of verse number 6. And they have kept Thy Word. You see that in John 17, the last part of John 17, verse 6. And they have kept Thy Word. Look at verse number 8 of John 17. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me. Look, if you would, at the latter part of verse number 12. That the Scripture might be fulfilled. That's the Word. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. I have given them Thy Word. Verse 17. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. The latter part of verse number 19 says, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. That's the Word. He just verified that back in verse 17. And then one more place in verse number 20, He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Isn't that amazing? How that God takes God's Word and gives it to Jesus, and Jesus takes God's Word and gives it to the disciple, and then the disciple takes God's Word and it becomes their Word as they are giving what was given to them by Jesus that was given to him by God. And then tomorrow, if we'll be faithful and God gives us an opportunity, we'll give it to somebody. Give what? Not our opinion. Not our personal position. That doesn't bring conviction to anyone's heart. Actually, a lot of times that just sums up debate and argument. But if we will hide God's word in our heart and give them God's word, it'll bring conviction and convincing of their need of the Savior. What is God's word in your life? What is God's word in my life? Is God's word just a group of pages that are bound together in a book that sits on an end table, or maybe a table beside the bed, a nightstand, or a coffee table, or just in a place to sit until the next time to pick it up to rush out the door and go to church? What is God's word in your life? Is God's word something that you look forward to each day? Is God's word something that we spend adequate time in every day? Do we believe that God's word is God's word? There was a group of people in Thessalonica. And I want you to turn there. I want to share something with you that God laid on my heart. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, there was a group of people that Paul met while he was there in Thessalonica. And he founded a church there. And he said, you know, you people in Thessalonica, you're a little different than a lot of folks. He said, because when you received the word, you received it a little differently. I wonder how I received the word. I wonder how you received the word. It's very important how we receive the word. You believe that? Now, it's important that we receive it, but it's very important how we receive it. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Now, you're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to hold that as a marker. We'll come back, and I want to ask you to turn to a few of the gospel accounts, okay? So hold your place here in 1 Thessalonians. Go back to Matthew. Matthew. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus, while he was here, he said this in Matthew chapter 13. He said, you need to take heed that you hear the word of God. Now, there's been some talk through the years, and I've really never addressed this. I don't plan on doing it tonight. It's not my message. But there's been some talk through the years. What is it with this thing about wanting to have two services on a Sunday? You know, why do churches have two services on a Sunday? Well, I would say probably more than anything, it's just preference. It's desire. I desire to hear the word. To me, the question could be, why do churches have Sunday school? Well, Sunday school is not the Bible. No, it's not. It's not. See, I want to place myself under the teaching of the Word as often as I can. And so, I don't think that'll make it a law. I do believe that'll be faithfulness to your local church. But I don't think that'll make it law. But the question would be, I guess, if why don't we have church on Monday instead of why do we have church two times on Sunday? Why don't we have it on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, right? I mean, that could be the question. And so instead of asking the question, why do we have it so much, the question could be, why do we have it so seldom? Because after all, we are talking about the Word of God and worshiping God. And so we have to be very careful about how we form our questions, or we could tell some things that may be in our heart. I don't want to come to church just because I feel like it's a law to come to church. I'm here this evening because I desire to be. And I believe you are. And so you say, preacher, would you come to church if we had it every day? Well, I have. We call that revival meeting or missions revival or Vacation Bible School. We're getting ready to have that. The Word of God will be taught here every night. And so, yeah, I have gone to church every night, and I've been the better for it, just to be frank and candid. And so I don't want to get caught up into, why do we do this and why do we do that? It's preference a lot of it. But it's not a bad preference. It's not one that I want to opt out of. And so, and there's other reasons. I think of people. How many of you in here work in a outside of the sanctuary? You work in a ministry outside of the sanctuary on Sunday mornings from time to time. Children's church, different things. Raise your hand. You say, I'm in children's church sometimes. Okay, you see these folks? Well, when they're not in here, they get to come back Sunday night and get a good dosage of God's Word. You know. Whereas they were giving on Sunday morning, they get to get on Sunday evening. And how many of you keep nursery? Raise your hand. If you keep nursery, raise your hand. Okay? All right. If I had a $100 bill in my pocket for each one of you ladies, I'd give it to you before you left the service tonight. We appreciate your service. I mean that with all of my heart. What a great asset you are to the church. But you know, when ladies keep the nursery, they do it. It's a labor of love. It's a labor of love. And, you know, they, in some ways, they don't get to be out here and fellowship and hear the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. Well, they get to come back the next service and hear God's Word. And so we have the services as often as we have them out of preference most of the time. Now, Sunday is the Lord's Day, right? And I think sometimes we forget that. We think Sunday's just the Lord's Day from whatever, like 9 to 12 or something. Can I tell you that Sunday, all day, is the Lord's Day? All day is the Lord's Day on Sunday. I'm going to say that again. All day Sunday is the Lord's Day. Not just some of it. Not just while you're at church, not just after Sunday morning. All day Sunday is the Lord's Day. And so we need to be cautious not to make that our day, or a favorite team's day, or a family day. No, that's God's day. And it should be different than any other day. It should be different. Now, in Matthew chapter number 13, are you there? Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 13. Look at verse number 9. Matthew 13, verse number 9. He said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. God said, you need to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You need to hear the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. You need to put yourself under it and say, I'll just read my Bible in a tree somewhere. Well, praise God, I hope that you do. But God has gifted pastors and teachers to help you in the understanding and the gathering of information from God's Word. God has gifted men to teach you and to help you. And He will put you under those men to instruct you and to guide you and to help you in your understanding of the Scripture. Put yourself under the preaching and the teaching of God's men. You'll never be sorry. And so He said in verse number 9, you need to take heed that you hear. Now look in Mark, if you would, in Mark chapter number 4. In Mark chapter number 4, He says something else. He didn't say, just take heed what you hear. He said in Mark chapter 4 and verse number 24, He said, it's not just that you hear, it's what you hear. Now, we hear a lot these days. I can't tell you the people that have come up to me and they've made statements as to, you know, such and such taught this and Joyce Meyer this and Joel Osteen this. Listen, those are false prophets. And I want you to understand that. Okay? I wouldn't give 10 seconds out of a day to listen to a hireling or a false prophet. Just wouldn't do it. You say, well, now, wait a minute now, preacher. That offends me. Well, I didn't say it to offend you. I said it to inform you. You need to look behind who's telling you what they're telling you, especially if they say they're telling you from God's Word. Be cautious. And this is what Jesus said. Look at Mark chapter 4. You there? Look at verse 24. And He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. You be careful now. Not everyone that says there's a preacher is a preacher. Amen. Not everyone that totes a Bible is going to teach the Bible. Just because they have one doesn't mean they're going to teach it to you. Amen. So be cautious. And then finally in Luke, turn to Luke chapter 8. And then we'll go back to 1 Thessalonians, and that's where we'll close tonight. Just trying to whet your appetite a little bit about the importance of God's Word. Jesus said, I've given them the words which thou hast given unto me. Important words. It's the Word of God. And if we spend half of our day, or a good portion of our day, listening to other words and not taking in God's Word, we're liable to get off track. To stay on track and to stay in focus, we need to spend adequate time in the Word of God. In Luke 8, in verse number 18, are you there? Luke chapter 8. So in Matthew, he said, take heed that you hear. Take heed that you hear the word. Number two, in Mark, he said, take heed what you hear. But look what he said here in Luke 8, in verse number 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Now, we don't want to be lazy listeners. It's very easy to become a lazy listener. You say, what do you mean? Well, your mind can go somewhere else. I've been preaching now for about 30 minutes, 35. About this time, if you're not careful, you'll even quit turning to the Scripture. I see you. You'll just quit turning to the Scripture. You'll become a lazy listener. And you'll think, I'm ready for this to be over. God may use the last 3 minutes to get to you what He needs to get to you, and you'll miss it. So you take heed how you hear. Don't be distracted now. Don't be distracted. How you hear is just as important that you hear and what you hear. Don't think, well, I'll just take what I want to take and discard the rest of it. Now, see, Jesus said, take heed how you hear. If it's coming from God's Word, you need to take the 100%. You may not like some of it, but you need to take the 100%. Amen. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse number 13, I'm going to give you a truth here, and then I'll be through for tonight. Look in verse number 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Why? He said, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us. And that's exactly what Jesus was referring to in his high priestly prayer in John 17. He said, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I want you to do something. I want you to underline the two received words in that verse. I would like to challenge you to go home and get a concordance, or you can download one on your phone if you don't have one at home. They're two different words. One of them means just to hear, like with the head. The other one means to hear in the heart. I'm going to act on this. And so here's what he said. He said, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word, when you welcome the word, when you just heard it from us, you just heard it. You didn't hear it like it was just from us, but you heard it in your heart like it was from God Himself. That's what he's saying. You didn't receive it, look what he said, as it was the word of men, just from us. You really received it as if it was God Himself speaking it to you. And because you did, it went to work in your life. It has an effectual work in you that believe. So it is important how you receive God's word. It's important that you receive it, but how you receive it. Let's stand, okay? The Word of God, it's very important. It's very important. Sunday, I'm going to give a challenge. Just begin to read the Word. We'll just take books and read books of the Bible. Memorize Scripture. So, preacher, I don't have time for that. Well, I'm going to also teach you to rephrase the way we say things. It's not that we don't have time, we choose not to take the time. Everyone has 24 hours in a day, and each one of us choose how we're going to use that time. And so we all have time. One day we will not have time, we'll be in one eternal day. But while we're here on this earth, we all have time. How are we going to choose to use it? I trust that God will help me and help you. Let's use our time, more of it, to be in God's Word and to hide it in our heart. You can't get too much of this book. You just can. It's good for us. It's good for us. It'll make us better people, better parents, better husbands and wives and servants and brethren and friends and people in the community. The Word of God will help us. And I pray that God would help me to be all that and then some. And he will, as we spend time in this book. The devil's going to do everything he can to keep you out of this book right here. And you know this. Let's bow our heads together. Most of you have been saved for some time. And you know the devil is still working in your heart to try to keep you from this book. If he can get you to get a verse a day or a few verses a day and think you're okay with that, then he'll let you live on those rationings. But oh, I pray that God would help me and God would help you to desire his word more than our necessary food. That it would be the bread of life to my soul. The meat and the milk, the honey that my soul needs to prosper in the Lord. And may God do so for you as well. Chart the time that you spend in his word, and then on the different side of the page, chart the time that you spend on social media, and then answer the question to yourself, what really is important to me? And who really is important to me? Father, help me and help your people to place a great emphasis and priority on your word. We know that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Father, help us. Help us to be a disciplined people and to place the proper priority on your word. Challenge our hearts, I pray. Speak to us about this matter of time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.